I mean,
funny, ridiculous.
Hi.
Hi,
this is JP, and apparently we need to be more explicit in how we tell Melissa to check her sound. You know what?
I need us to record this and save this because I'm putting this snippet out as a precursor to the next episode.
I felt like
episode.
It wasn't recorded though, so there's no way we could do that again.
It's being recorded right now.
Can't reproduce it.
I want everyone to know. We were trying to do a little tech check for this podcast because they had recorded last week and we weren't able to put out the episode because the sound was all jacked up and weird. And while we were doing our sound check, we realized the sound was coming from Melissa's end. So me and JP have sat here for the past, 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get Melissa's computer to put the sound through her headphones only and not through the speakers. Little did we know that every time we asked Melissa to check and see if the sound was working without her headphones on, she was unplugging the headphones.
You guys,
to
take the headphones out. So in my defense, because I feel like it's my turn now. Okay, I'm going to reclaim my time. And
So me and JP thought it was self-explanatory.
It was not made explicitly clear.
Make sure that the sound wasn't coming from both places. Apparently, we weren't clear enough.
You were.
Apparently, Melissa was under the impression that if she unplugged her headphones, the sound still would not come from her computer, because that would be useful. How?
I don't know, but you guys, I told you that wasn't a real thing, and you guys seemed pretty sure it was a real thing.
Obviously,
you were under the impression that your headphones were still plugged in.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm still in the right in this.
Melissa,
I feel like I'm so good.
Oh,
Melissa, I love you.
Oh.
But it's like explaining technology to your grandmother. It's just...
Wait, when did I upgrade from mom to grandma? That's rude. Did you just generation hop me a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Just tad. Just skosh. Just.
My grandma got a tablet, so I guess we cool.
Oh my god, 255 episodes. I don't even know how this freaking happened. Anyway, today we have Deanna and Melissa with us. Hey ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
So before we continue on to the show, make sure to check out our site, nergasmnoir.net, NERDGASMNOIRE.net. We're on Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, Facebook. You can download the show by subscribing to our RSS feed, iTunes, or Stitcher Radio. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can call us at 312-574-0591. If you want to contact us, go to our website. We have a contact page. And let's continue on to the show. So the first thing we want to talk about is, so kind of a bit of old news. honestly, we talked about this earlier, but it's lost because the audio was messed up. So we're going to talk about it a little bit again. So John Barrowman, he kind of did something I feel was kind of jerky.
We all felt it. We all felt it. You don't have to lie.
Where was it at? Which convention was it?
Comic-Con.
Yes. Okay. Because I was like, I knew it was Comic-Con, but I wasn't sure what city. And he was wearing a TARDIS kind of like dress tutu type. Well, TARDIS dress. Let's just say it's a TARDIS dress. And then he was saying, I'm trans TARDIS. And I'm just, yeah. I kind of thought that was a little bit of a jerk move.
It definitely was a dick move.
You know what? You're right. It was definitely a jerk move. You're right.
Like, well, the shitty part about it is, like, a lot of people were sharing the article because of the picture. And not really reading the article. So a lot of people shared, like, that article about it was widely spread, and nobody even realized that he had said something so, like, kind of fucked up. Not kind of, something very fucked up in the actual article until, like, a bunch of trans people pointed it out and were like, hey, he's got a history. He's actually apparently has a history of being, like, a dick to trans people, which is...
I mean, but... That's kind of par for course for most, like, white, cisgendered gay men.
Yeah, like, it's really fucking shitty. I really, really, really wish cisgendered people would stop being assholes to trans people. And, like, making those stupid-ass offhand comments like that, and then turning around and acting like it's no big deal when clearly it is. It was a fucked up situation. And now I can never watch fucking anything with John Barrowman in it again because he's a fucking dick.
Well, first, fuck him. I'm watching Torchwood. I maintain that Torchwood, outside of the Star season, was better than a lot of seasons of Doctor Who. I just, like, even his whole joke about being trans TARDIS made no fucking sense because the TARDIS is female, or so it's like canon or whatever. So what are you actually like when you're dressed up in the girly outfit or whatever? What, you're just the TARDIS then?
I don't understand where he was going with that, unless he was like making a joke that haha, I'm a man dressed in a dress, you know, in a dress,
man in a dress, and yeah. That joke is so fucking lazy. Yeah. Like, there are so many ways that that's been kind of done in what I found to be hilarious. Like, I love Princess Batman because Batman's dressed like a princess. It's not transgender Batman. It's not, you know, fucked up Batman. It's Princess Batman. Like, that's different. But you doing, I'm transgender TARDIS. Like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know.
Right, like, It was just kind of weird because I was like, why you even had to add trans onto it? You're just a TARDIS. You're just dressed up as the TARDIS. That's it.
You could have been femme TARDIS if that's what you want to do with your life. You could have been, I don't know, just the TARDIS again, or just a guy that likes to put on a pretty dress, which doesn't make you trans.
Right.
Anything.
And it's a big reach to say, oh, maybe he was trying to do gender bent, you know, TARDIS. I'm like, that'll be a fucking reach because.
Even if you're trying to do like a gender bent thing, like, there's a difference between pushing the boundaries of what people think gender expression is and offending trans people. Like, there are plenty of dudes who wear dresses that still identify as dudes, so why the fuck would you say that you're a trans TARDIS? No, you're just being an ass.
Off the top of my head, and I don't know, because I can't remember how they identify. I want to say Eddie Izzard, though.
Eddie Izzard. I don't know, because I believe Eddie Izzard identifies as a cross-dresser. Everything I remember reading on it, he uses, like, cross-dresser or other words that I don't think I'm allowed to use as a cisgender person. But I don't know if he necessarily considers himself trans.
I don't think he does. Like, everything that I'm trying to remember about it, and I don't want to Google it right now. But that doesn't sound weird to Google while we're podcasting. Like, what am I Googling? But yeah, it's just a way to do things without being obtuse and offensive. And John Barrowman has not figured that out yet because it's all for fun, I guess. I had a hard time at first because I enjoy John Barrowman in everything I've seen him in, even The Arrow. And that's not an easy sell.
It's not.
But it's just, it isn't. But no, this was stupid, and this was offensive, and this was, why? Like, just why?
Right, it wasn't even, it was just so unnecessary. It was just unnecessary. Just, yeah. Anyway, I had a mini rant, so someone had tweeted out the trailer for the remake of Death Wish 2017, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
First question, what is Death Wish?
Death Wish is going to be a upcoming film about a vigilante, so it's an action thriller, and it's a remake of the 1974 film of the same name, which is famously starred Charles Bronson. So, yes.
Famously.
I mean, he's known for that movie, among other things.
Right. I'm being rude.
Okay. So the remake will star Bruce Willis as the main character. So it's supposed to come out later this year in November.
I have a feeling that it's not from your notes here in the notes. I have a feeling
It's horrible. For the audience who don't realize, we have like an outline and we'll put links. I didn't put a link because I like these two people. So, yeah. and trust me, when this episode posts, I'm not gonna put a link there either. So you just shit out of luck. You won't have to do your own Google search because I'm not linking to it. Yeah.
Google.
So, guess where the movie is based? Guess. Just, I'll give you one guess. Give you a guess. Vigilante. Action thriller.
Cincinnati.
Deanna.
Oh, is it Cincinnati?
News. You know what?
Indianapolis.
You know what? Okay, y'all gonna play with me now. Y'all just gonna play.
Oh. I just did my Google.
So, the movie is going to be based in Chicago, and within the trailer, it's all these mentions of Chirac and high crime, and no one is doing anything about it. So, this white male doctor decides to become a vigilante and start shooting up people. So,
nope.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chicago mad.
I'm just keep motherfucking Chicago out your mouth. That's all I want. Just stay the fuck away.
That needs to be our new tagline, because I swear every few months.
I'm really tired. Because I'm so sick of y'all using Chicago for this type of bullshit. Like,
Which I don't understand. Like, everybody talks about, like, I don't know, everybody has this, they talk about, like, high crime rates in Chicago, and Chicago doesn't, all these, like, criminals live there, and nobody does anything about it, but, like, I don't even live in Chicago, and I hear about people trying to do shit to better Chicago all the time. Like, there were moms that were, like, camping out on street corners to keep gangbangers from hanging out there. Chance the Rapper does something for Chicago literally every 5 minutes. Like, I don't understand.
And here's the thing. No one wants to talk about how not even last year we still have lawsuits and court dates for a black site that Chicago police decided that they want a private place where they could just beat up on people and disappear people. But no one wants to talk about that.
And then also, didn't they close down a bunch of schools? Didn't they close down a bunch of schools?
And before they closed all those schools, they closed all the mental health clinics before then. And before that, all of the medical clinics that was helping low-income neighborhoods. So
this just is sounding so familiar. Shout out and Engler.
Yeah.
Who closed a long-term mental health clinic.
And then wondering.
Yeah. Sorry.
And no one wants to talk about how, like, you can't even go up north without tripping over meth head, but since they're white, it's good. They cool. We just gonna go and, like, straight up go out south and all out west to all of the minority neighborhoods and, you know, put them in jail for 10 years for holding a freaking nickel bag of weed. But you know what? I don't know shit, so hey.
So it sounds like you guys haven't tried to have freakers come and do a shoot 'em up. Like, nobody's proposed it yet. And, you know, I'm just putting it out there. Maybe you get Bruce Willis, you know.
Give Bruce Willis a chance, 2018. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just really tired of people who are using Chicago to, one, as, you know, the backdrop for your hyper crime-ridden, violent, you know, storytelling bullshit without any nuance as to the reasons why for certain issues in this city. And I'm tired of people who haven't even stepped a foot in here, who only come, you know, for one day only and seem to think that they know what's wrong with Chicago.
Ouch.
And you don't even know.
For your information, I'm there for like 2 days. Thank you very much. Jeez.
What?
At the next time.
And they don't even know what the initial LSD is. They think it's a drug.
Okay. Hey. At the next time. Because it took me a while. Also, at least I stopped trying to call it Pacific Coast Highway because I'm so used to California. So I'm getting better.
I'm just saying, please, please stop acting like you know about Chicago if you have never lived here in your life. And I mean lived here, not like you've been here for a couple months and then you went off to wherever you need to go. Like, seriously. Because it pisses me off to about, oh, this is what Chicago need to do. And you don't even know the name of one freaking nonprofit in Chicago that deals with, you know, helping reduce crime, helping to give medical assistance to low-income people. You don't know shit about that. You couldn't even bother to do a 10-second Google search. So I'm sorry, fuck all y'all. Fuck y'all. At me. At me. Come on, at me. It's ISITIS, at me. If you got something to say, so I can immediately block your ass.
she'll cuss you out first. That you're gonna get cussed out first, and then she'll blush.
In case you couldn't tell from the tone, yeah, you're definitely gonna get cussed out.
Anyway, I'm good. I'm done. I mean, if you want to do the next topic, D.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, am I the only person who wanted to talk about this? Because I find this hits a little close to home.
I wanted to find out more because I tried to follow it. Well, I was like, wait.
I don't mind talking about it. I just thought that you had a story in your heart about it. So,
are you going to testimony? Well, sort of, kind of. Okay, so basically, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Twitter for like the past week or longer once this actually posts. There was some shit going down with Geek Girl Con. Apparently, volunteers and a couple of leaders or whatever resigned, and they came out with this long statement. And the long statement was like, oh, well, the con is being discriminatory, this, that, and the other, right? So when people first see it, they're like, oh, well, the con... They're thinking in terms of the con is being discriminatory against people of color. And so, you know, a bunch of people were like, well, fuck it, I'm not going to go to Geek Girl Con if they're being like that. But what actually happened was, apparently, a couple of the white volunteers and leaders in Geek Girl Con actually resigned from their positions because, and even though they're using all of this, like, somebody called it, SJW language or whatever. Somebody pointed out that they're basically appropriating language that people of color use to sort of explain our various marginalizations. And apparently some people left Geek Girl Con because they were very, very upset that Geek Girl Con was trying to make themselves more accessible to people of color. And after this story breaks out, one of the people who founded Safety Pin Box actually shared their story of how, you know, the Safety Pin Box was actually trying, that organization was trying to work with Geek Girl Con and do like a project with them for the con to help reach to like our youth outreach thing. And they were doing it for the fourth of the price that they normally do their consultations for, and they were willing to like sacrifice all this stuff to help make the con more accessible to people of color. And Geek Girl, the specific people who left were basically complaining about, oh, well, why are they charging us? And they're being unfair, this, that, and the other. And one of the other people of color leaders had to actually fight for them to be able to help with shit. So the reason this hits close to home with me is because I haven't experienced it personally because I'm trying to keep myself safe, but we've seen that happening with other cons before, like specifically mm-hmm. WizCon. And like, I remember, like, and apparently it was even worse before we started going to WizCon, but I remember like the first couple of times we went to WizCon, there were like 5 black people there and like 4 of them were us. So like, it's very, very weird to see the pushback when cons or any organization really tries to like be inclusive, especially coming on the heels of that whole shit at Google where that dude wrote that 10-page manifesto.
Oh my god!
People of color or inferior or whatever, and Google and like Google this whole time has been like, how are we gonna be more inclusive? How are we gonna make our space more inclusive for people of color and women? Well, maybe you should get rid of those people. So like, on one hand, I'm glad that the bad actors resigned. But on the other hand, I'm kind of pissed that you would take this language and use it against people of color. That's maniacal, right? Like, that's on some supervillain shit. That's some Cersei Lannister shit, right? Okay, I'm glad I'm not.
Because, talk about, oh, well, we wanted to make sure that we was clear. No, you wasn't. You wanted to make it seem like it was coming from a person of color. You knew how you was using the language. You knew what type of image it will bring. You did that shit on purpose. and then say, oh, we, and then and they did the, oh, I asked my person of color friend, and they said I should, you know,
I asked my right,
they did, I have a insert race here friend. I was like, oh, please, come on, you know what the fuck you was doing, you know.
Well, that's another thing, because, like, people of color, well, marginalized mm-hmm. people in general have been developing, they've been basically developing and refining a way to explain mm-hmm. our marginalizations, right? Like, there's certain things that we say, like, you like things like appropriation or whatever, right? And so, it's always funny to me. It's always funny to me when white people or men or cisgender people or whatever, right, try and use that language to say that somebody was discriminating against them, because it's either A, you don't actually understand what we're explaining to you, so you only understand it on a partial level, and so you're not using these words right in this context, or B, you're specifically using these words in a malicious manner, and, like, neither of those are good. Like, neither of those is a good excuse, so what the fuck are you doing? I don't know, but it's just, it's a saga, and I've been thinking about going to Geek Girl Con, because Seattle's nice in October. It's not too cold, it's not too hot. Yeah, but now I feel more inclined to go, because I feel like they got rid of some of the people who were sort of assholes. And so now I feel like, okay, I can feel a little
safer. Yeah, I never really had the need to go, because it felt like it would be white woman BS. I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I, every time I saw stuff about Geek Girl Con, I was like, oh, this is some white girl stuff. I'm sorry to say it like that, but I really don't want to deal with the how can I word this? The
cultural illiteracy.
That, but also the well-meaning white woman who's not very well-meaning.
Right. Well, that's... Okay, so, first of all, the first thing I want to say to you is, because it's a thing that I'm also trying to do myself, don't be sorry to say that, because it's something that, mm-hmm. in all honesty, needs to be said. Like, and this is just, okay, so let's have black nerd girl therapy hour. But, like, one of the things I've been doing lately is, like, paying attention to my instincts, because I will feel things like you just said right now, like, I don't want to go to this thing because it seems really white, and usually what happens when my black ass is in a situation that's really white is I'm going to have to spend a lot of time explaining this, or people are going to think I'm trying to steal something, or whatever, like, it's something stupid, right? And I have that initial instinct. And then there's this other kind of warring feeling that's like, that makes me feel bad for mm-hmm. having that intuitive feeling, you know? And so, like, then I end up convincing myself to do something that will put me in that situation. When in all honesty, I should have listened to my instincts in the first place. Or even express them so that someone else, like, at least express that, oh, that seems uncomfortable, because that seems like it's going to be really white. And then, like, have a friend of color who actually goes and goes, yeah, it is really white, but you have these spaces. Because mm-hmm. that's the way WizCon got better, was a lot of people didn't want to go to WizCon because WizCon was a very, very, very white con. And every year, the amount of people of color that go gets bigger and bigger because people ask, people see that we go. And people ask us, well, why, you know, what's this con like, this, that, and the other? And we're just honest with them. We're like, it's really white. But at the same time, there are a lot of black, or there are a lot of, not just black people, but people of color who go. There's a lot of trans people who go. There's a lot of queer people who go. And there's a lot of disabled people that go. And, you know, you can go and find a community who you can then go, if something happens, there's spaces set up. So if something happens, you can go in those spaces and be like, this is what happened to me. And people won't make you feel like, oh, you're just being too sensitive. People will actually validate your feelings and be like, yeah, that happens. And you guys can like work towards either, you can either vent or you can work towards how to make it better, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Exactly.
And I just need that for like everywhere.
Right, because
that's all
like
I'm asking you guys.
I don't know how many people I know go to Geek Girl Con. So that's one reason why I probably wouldn't go, because I know if I went there and it wasn't with a lot of people that I knew or by myself, that if something, right, it'll be awkward. And if something did happen, it'll be either I'm just like, fuck the whole thing and just go, or I'm cussing out a white woman and then she's doing the white woman tears and then it's a whole thing. So I only come in two modes. Either I'm walking, either it's fuck everything and I'm gone, or I'm cussing her the fuck out. And
I think, I swear to God, Tanya went one year. I don't know if she goes every year. We should posse up.
Yeah.
Who wants to posse up with me for GeekCon?
I know.
Seattle's nice. Also legal weed. Come
oh
on.
My God,
great coffee, legal
ride.
Weed.
Come oh
on.
Oh my God. Shit.
I do that plane ride.
How?
Every year for Wisconsin.
Shit.
You guys can deal.
Damn it. I can't even say shit. All right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Shit. Damn it, Deanna. Why you gotta be so fucking far?
Ha ha. Well, if I were rich, it would be easier, because then I'd have
that
houses
true.
Everywhere. But unfortunately, I'm a broke bitch, so we're going to have to figure out a way to make it work. Anyway, hopefully Geek Girl Con keeps pushing and becomes more inclusive, and I think I may start going. I think I may. We'll see. Anyway, moving on.
I guess to kind of end the structure topics on a good note. So there was an article that came out on USA Today talking about DAOs that are targeted towards black and brown girls, and they kind of focus on the article is mostly focused on one, and their Kickstarter is currently ongoing. I think they got about 22 days as of today. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, the Kickstarter is still running and you can kind of add in your support. But it's called Royales. I think it's Royales or Royales. I don't know. Yeah, okay. So
Royales,
maybe I was right
I
the
think.
First time. So Royales Avatar, which are, you know, looking at the pictures, these are really beautiful.
They're gorgeous. One of the things I like about the dolls is, like, they're very, I like the bright colors and the mixed patterns. But then I also like that some of the dress designs are, like, they remind me of, what am I trying to think of? What am I trying to think of? Like, the pictures that I've seen, they look like the, I don't even know what the name of those pretty Nigerian dresses. With
like
and all kinds of stuff. I don't know if there's like a specific name for it, but they're really, really
so
cute.
A lot of the,
oh, and they also have,
no, I was just going to say a lot of the clothing for the DAOs is inspiration from African fashion and culture. So the founder was raised in Kenya, so a lot of that kind of fashion and culture. I love that all the DAOs have different hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
Also love,
yeah, because they have like,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say they have like cornrows and they have like afros.
Yeah.
I think one of them was bald.
Some have like face painting. Some, mm-hmm. I like that most of the dolls are on the darker side.
Yes.
So I'm not sure all of, right. Yeah.
They're gorgeous. Very, I want one.
Very, very, I mean, they're very high fashion looking. They don't look like dolls you want to play with. They look like dolls you just want to put and like, yeah, collectibles.
Like collectibles. Please don't buy the dolls and then tell your children they can't play with them. If you're going to buy the dolls, buy two. Buy one for your child to play with and the other for you to put in the thing. So that way your child isn't like, look at these pretty dolls. Mama yelled at me for touching them.
But they are really pretty. Because I'll be like, no, no. This is for mommy. Here is yours.
Also mentions that American Girl actually came out. I didn't know that American Girl didn't have a hijabi doll character, but apparently they
I could have told you that.
And now they do. Well, American Girl, I remember when I was a kid, American Girl was like the only place that I could possibly find a doll that was my color. Because I used to get the magazines, and the magazines used to be like, if you want to make your own doll, you can get them this shade and this eye color and this, that, and the other. So American Girl did a slightly better with doll variations. Not by a whole lot, but they made the effort. But they were expensive as fuck. That's why I never got one. All right, moving on. Melissa.
Hi.
I know you wanted to talk about Game of Thrones because you still game some Thrones.
I feel you guys aren't as excited as I am about it, so it does not encourage
me. Okay. So here's the thing. No, so here's the thing about Game of Thrones. For like the past 3 seasons, I haven't been able to watch it because it's just too much. And I feel like it's starting to get how, you know how like True Blood, like season 5 and 6 we're just like, why?
Yeah, I was like, why?
I feel like it's starting to get to that point with Game of Thrones, and so I'm just waiting for it to teeter off so that everybody can tell me what happens, and then maybe I'll binge it later. But please, because I heard that there were dragons.
Well, here's the thing, this episode was the episode that a lot of us are waiting for. Daenerys, I almost left up her name, got to ride her dragons into battle. Or, you know, just the one. Because she can only ride one dragon at a time. If she rode all three at a time, that'd be a ridiculous show. But just the one. Dragon, I believe. Which was an interesting...
Wait. You said Dragon like the rapper from the 90s. And I feel like that's wrong.
I feel like that's that dragon's name. I don't know. I gotta be super honest about that.
Okay. keep going.
But she wrote him into battle. It was towards the end of the short episode, by the way. Like, they gave us everything in a short episode. So, the battle scene was like the big climax or whatever. We got to see Bronn be Bronn. I personally missed Bronn. He was one of those really honest characters. You never had to worry about him being deceptive or whatever, you know, trying to figure out his game point, because he told you, he introduces himself as a person that can be bought, will be bought, and is looking for someone to buy him. Like, sell me what you have and I'll take it. So, I love Bronn. Plus, he has, next to Tyrion, he has some of the best lines. So, he got to do a big part, him and Jaime, even though him and Jaime's friendship is nothing to him and Tyrion. I don't want to spoil it because there's a really big part at the end that was great. But we also got the Starks reunion. I think everybody's holding their breath. Oh, okay. So, Jaime is a fucking...
No, go ahead.
Huh? Oh. Jaime is a fucking idiot, first of all. So, Like, okay, so the dragon gets shot by the arrow because Bronn is a motherfucking G. Just when you think Bronn's about to scatter away or whatever, he actually has this big-ass arrow, and he aims it, and he shoots, and he gets Daenerys. And even though I'm on technically Daenerys' side, I was still, like, rooting for Bronn. So he gets the dragon. Daenerys stops to pull the arrow out of the dragon, and Jaime decides that while Daenerys is distracted, it'll be a totally good idea to try to attack her. Meanwhile, Tyrion's in the background like, you idiot, just run away. Like, just... He's like, Tyrion's everybody else watching Jaime. Like, just, my dude, leave this place. No. My brother who just found out I didn't actually kill your son, please leave this battlefield, or at least don't charge a dragon. Like, I don't know if they teach that in Knight 101 or whatever, but if you see a dragon, even if it has an arrow sticking out of it, one fucking arrow, don't charge it. Calm down. But he charges it. And then Bronn, and this is when you think that Jaime's about to fucking get burnt into crisp or whatever. Bronn comes out of nowhere and tackles him. And they land in the lake or the ocean or whatever. So, of course, Jaime is wearing a shitload of armor. And so he goes, he sinks down, and that's the last scene. So he's clearly not, like, in any other show, I'd be like, well, this nigga's dead, right? Like, you have a whole bunch of armor, you're going to sink and drown. But it's Game of Thrones, so he's probably just going to end up being a sea monster of some sort. Like, what were you saying? Oh, maybe, yeah. I feel like they wouldn't have wasted Bronn doing that on his death. So, but we won't know until next week. But that wasn't even the most exciting part for me. The most exciting part was the Lady of Tarth versus the many-faced assassin. Like, Arya gets to Winterfell. She reunites with Sansa. It's super cute. Arya kind of briefly mentions her kill list, and Sansa laughs nervously. Like, that's not a real thing. And Arya's like, yeah, we're just joking. But actually, I have a list of people. Like, she's gone. She's, because Sansa mentioned people that were already dead. And so Arya's like, oh, I wish I had got to kill him. Because, you know, I got a list. But, you know. So, Sansa doesn't really, she's not about a kill list, which is weird. If I was Sansa, I'd have a kill list. They reunite, and then she reunites with her weird-ass brother, Bran, who, I don't like Bran. He's very, even though he's the three-eyed raven or whatever, he's also very boring, and I blame him for Hodor's life. And for the fact that we don't know this dude's real name, and we never will. So, thanks, Bran. But, and Bran is, like, totally, like, getting devoid of emotion, because he's no longer human. He's ... something else. He says this. It feels like more than once during the episode. I don't know why people are still talking to him. But they reunite. It's fun. And then Arya challenges Bran to like a training thing. Because, you know, she wants to be trained by the best. And who else is fucking with Bran? Like, no one. So, I think I'm saying her name wrong. But anyway. They have a really awesome sword fight scene because Arya is, like, knowing her shit at this point. And the Lady of Tarth is just amazed. And the look on her face when it's going down. At first, she's like, what the fuck? And then it's like, aw, what the fuck? So I hope they're friends. Like, I hope they're literal friends right now. Buddies. And then Littlefinger walks by and Arya looks at him like she just added creepy? A name to her list. He is just so fucking creepy. He can't stop talking about Kat. Like, it's so weird because he's clearly coming on to Sansa. Like, clearly. Yeah, Arya is a true-ass start. But he's even said this to Sansa, like, it feels like he said it to her right before trying to make out with her, which is just, on so many levels, not okay. It's not okay. But it's almost like Arya can see him for who he is. And he's, I feel like earlier seasons, Littlefinger, while creepy, was still kind of cool. But now he's just creepy. And I wish he would die already. So that was fun. And then Theon, a.k.a. Reek, a.k.a. Why Are You Still Alive? Because he came back and Jon pretty much told him the only reason you're still alive is because you helped Sansa that one time. That was it. So it was a very tense reunion for those two bros. Oh, wait, no, they were never really friends. I'm sorry. Theon was Rob's friend. Forgot all about Rob, because who actually cared about Rob? So dead. And, like, here's the thing. Nah, Rickon died. Rickon is dead. Here's the thing how we know Rickon is dead. Last season, Ramsay teased them about keeping Rickon alive. Like, he held him prisoner, and then he let Rickon run towards Jon, and then he shot Rickon in the back with an arrow. Rickon's dead. I don't know if we can comprehend. He's something else now. Also, I don't like him. Yeah. And he may or may never find this out. He may find this out just so long enough to fuck his aunt. We don't know. That's what everybody is rooting
Why
for.
Why are people rooting for this? Why? Why?
I personally don't get it. I get that it, because at least we're saying, oh, well, at least they're not brothers. So people are rooting for Daenerys and Jon to just fuck already and be like king and queen of this shit. Yeah. He's gonna fuck. He's gonna, no, their aunt. That's his aunt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to game me.
That's it. D has solved it all for you guys. But that's what they're rooting for. Like, Daenerys and Jon.
So wait, before you continue on. To be, so are you saying that the one true king is incest?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Pretty much. It's gonna be weird to see, because I feel like the fans are really pushing for it. It seems like an obvious choice, but I don't know. Somebody has to tell him. It's probably going to be Bran, because Bran's the only one that knows everything, but he's also the most annoying person I've ever, like, in the whole universe, the most annoying person. But we'll see. And now they're doing the whole, Jon and Daenerys are bickering because Daenerys is being kind of fucking ridiculous right now. Like, Jon came to Daenerys to get the Dragonglass to fight the Night King or whatever, because they're the White Walkers, and they're going to destroy everyone, and nobody believes Jon, because everybody's trying to fight for the throne. And so Daenerys won't give him the Dragonglass unless he bends the knee and stop calling himself King of the North.
I find it ironic that Jon, who used to know nothing, now knows something, and no one is listening to him. Before, when he knew nothing, everyone listened to his freaking stupid ideas. But now, no one is listening to him, and he actually, for sure, knows something.
Well, and he showed her evidence of, like, the old drawings of when men and the first children band together to fight the White Walkers. It was a really emotional scene, and then it was down in the tombs where there was a bunch of dragon glass. All Daenerys had to do was be like, sure, you can mine this, because this is all you'll ever need. But she was like, but first I need you to bend the knee. Like, and then she accused him of having too much pride, because he's like, I don't want to bend the knee. Like, he was appointed King of the North by his people, and his people that have been fucked over by the likes of Daenerys' people and the Lannisters of the South. So it's just the fact that she's stuck on this feels like a departure from her from earlier seasons. And also just going back to her Mad King ass father.
Right. Like, how does it look when someone who's telling you, I need this or something is going to totally annihilate us, and you're like, well, before you do that, you have to bend a knee in order for me to give the only thing that will save all of us. Like, why would I want to give my loyalty to someone who's going to hold over something that could save everybody over me? Like, no. I wouldn't bend a knee either. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say my last rites, say goodbye to my family, try to, you know, keep them safe as best I can. Fuck you. So.
Or I wait till you were gone fighting the Lannisters and just take your fucking dragon glass.
That sounds like an even better idea.
You and your dragons are gone off fighting. That's cool. I'm going to take this, though. And it's just, I don't know. So this is the first part of the last season. Hopefully we're coming to some conclusion. But it was the shortest episode so far, but it was also the most exciting. Like, I didn't think that they'd be able to top Lady Tyrell's speech at the end of the last episode. In which she told Jaime to tell Cersei it was her who killed her son. Like, Jaime.
So she was the one who orchestrated Joffrey's poisoning.
And so when Jaime fed her the poison wine, Lady Tyrell, she was all dressed for death. You know, she came to dead these bitches, which was herself. And she drank the wine very calmly. She made sure she had enough time to do a speech describing how Joffrey looked when he died. She's like, you know, I really wouldn't want to die like your son, purple in the face and shit, real embarrassing, probably shit himself, you know. Also, tell Cersei that I was the one that did it. I want her to know it was me. And those are her last words. To Jaime. Like, it was the best. I'm telling you, man, Jamie's face was just like, it's not going to be his
like, her whole speech was just like, yeah, I'm going to die, but before I do, let me tell you something. Right.
Because he made sure that she had a painless poison. Like, he was being what he thought was nice, because he took over the High Gardens, because then they don't fight. It wasn't even it was like, we, you know, the flower people, we don't do shit. So, yeah, it's kind of easy to take over. So, he wanted to be cool, wanted to be cordial. Because he had also killed her, like, Cersei had just murked her granddaughter as well. So, you know, he thought he was being nice.
She's like, she took a sip, made sure she had enough time so he couldn't take her back and give her something painful. So
she was real calm, you know. It was the best, up until the last episode, it was the best part of this season, by far. So if there was ever a time for you to jump back into Game of Thrones, I would say it'd be this season. If only for the reunions. I'm hoping that they're not fucking with me about reuniting Jon and Arya. I want it with all my heart. So, we'll see. That was Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, so, that's it for this episode of the Gas Noir Network. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Nergasm Noir, NERDGASMNOIRE. So you can go to our website, NergasmNoir.net. You can follow us ladies on Twitter as well. JP at Isis. Melissa at, are you still at Black Girl Geeky? I feel like you changed it.
I am.
You don't even know. You changed. She changes.
I want to find out, guys. Hold on. It's Kirby Black Geek. I know my name.
Okay, at Kirby Black Geek. Maria at underscore Rossi underscore. And Deanna at 90 Cool J. So thank you for listening. And have a good night or day whenever you're listening to this.